This is 25 Months, a memoir, written by Linda McKay Stewart, read for you by Michelle Bass. Time present and time past are both perhaps present in time future, and time future contained in time past. If all time is eternally present, all time is unredeemable. T.S. Eliot, Four Quartets. Prologue. Four windows form the headboard of our bed. A straggle of trees, the marsh, and then the river. Milky moonlight floods our pillows. Behind me, his knees fit perfectly into the soft caps of my bent legs. His chin rests easily on the top of my head. His arm crosses my body in that little valley just below my ribs. The soles of my feet lie flat against his shins. Am I awake or asleep? Maybe both. His thumb explores the back of my hand, pauses on my fourth finger, and idly turns the gold band there. Time and the cool of the night have deepened the groove, and the ring turns easily. Above me, his breath is warm in my ear. "Marry me," he murmurs. "Dream or joke?" His words, my torpor, merge to pursue me through the shallows of sleep. But already I'm far ahead, sinking into the deep. In the morning, the moon and his words have vanished, forgotten, it seems. Chapter 1. Impression. On the short test of mental status, he scored well within the normal range, statistically giving him at most around a 10% chance of having a dementing illness such as Alzheimer's disease. Dr. X. That last day before the beginning was a blue and gold Sunday, cool and clear, the kind of perfection only October can confer. We attended a community picnic, a tacit farewell to bare feet, to shirtless sleeves, and to all the ensuances of life in balmy weather. We were tossed, Jack and I, along with a handful of our peer group, into this hilltop gathering like seasoning, just a pinch, but not too much, because the day belonged to the young, two or three dozen parents, kids in tow. On the grass in front of the old turn-of-the-century clubhouse, frisbee-tossing fathers in khakis and sneakers were in full command. Leggy, summer-tanned mothers, still coiffed in the shining hair of girlhood, took their ease on the wide wooden steps, casually watchful of their tyrannical toddlers playing on the lawn below. Smoke from a couple of cooking grills drifted up through the flamboyant foliage as the self-appointed chefs stood around taking orders and exchanging the latest inanities harvested from their weekly 9-to-5 existences. Ours was a comfortable community, not chic, just comfortable. A good public school system was amply funded by murderous property taxes. Kids could begin sailing in the River Rats when they were 8. On Sunday afternoon, year-round, there were sailboat races, open to anyone who could cinch a line or trim a sail. The public library would obligingly procure any title and make it available for 2 weeks, with a 2-week renewal option, a privilege that went a long way toward keeping the family's book-buying budget under control. In winter, until global warming spoiled the fun, there was ice boating on the river. In summer, the epicenter of life moved to an uncrowded beach, lately tripled in size by a beach replenishment program that, residents never tired of gleefully reminding one another, was entirely covered by state and federal funding. For the most part, domesticity was housed in hard-to-heat Victorian houses with wraparound porches. Never intended for year-round living, they were designed for the 20th century's first quarter, when Irish or Southern immigrants were grateful for Thursdays and every other Sunday, along with room and board, minimal salary, and the privilege of being called part of the family. As prized as alcoves and window seats, holly trees and ancient lilacs was a view of cove, inlet, river curve, marshland, or, for a fortunate few,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?